Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Member. I'm leading the delegation for social development. My name is Colleen Malo. I'm the DDG responsible for welfare services, of which this area of work falls under. I'm with my colleague, Bunti, who is director responsible with the human trafficking issues within the Department of Social Service. Honorable Chair, you will guide me. I've just circulated a second presentation which basically talks to regulations and some of the directives. What I'm going to present is part of regulations and directives, but also progress in terms of what it is that we have done to ensure that they are ready for implementation and things that they have started doing. Reason being, as you may know, Honorable Chair, the testing was done on the 4th of June, 2015, and it is said in the legislation that 60 days after the tabling, the Parliament is supposed to approve this regulation and directive. However, there is also Section 43, subsection 3, that says if regulations are not approved within the 60 days, they are deemed to be approved by the Parliament. Then thereafter, there are things that they say we must do as a department, of which we've done them because 60 days is last. And then we're guided by the section 53, subsection 3 of the Trafficking Persons Act. Hence, I'm saying I thought it important to also brief the committee on the progress that they have made. Basically, we're here to brief the committee on the regulations and directives. This is a presentation outline, I won't bore you with it, but basically I'll speak to the Act and what is mandating us to do as social development, because that's where we draw our money, because this is an intersectoral legislation. Other departments also have responsibility to also implement the legislation. I'll talk to our mandate and also briefly on the regulations and how far we've gone in terms of implementation and also directives. And then I'll speak to some few challenges that we've experienced think this legislation could really have come at a better time, because as a country we are obligated to really meet our international agreements that we have signed. This particular legislation, Honorable Chair and Members, gives effect to the UN protocol that aims to prevent, suppress and punish trafficking in persons, especially women and children, and it also tries to supplement the UN Convention against Transnational Organized Crime. This human trafficking in its nature is hidden, and it doesn't really lend itself to the normal identification of victims by either communities or service providers. So it's very important to understand the act of mobilization, the means and experimentation processes, and the knowledge of the subject matter itself for you to be able to intervene properly. I think that the department also acknowledged that we think this is the first piece of legislation that addresses the needs of the victims in terms of the victim empowerment process, and it regulates measures to protect and assist victims of trafficking specifically. As a social development, what we did, and we also came up with a policy framework. We call it Trafficking in Persons Policy Framework, and which is based on the legislation itself. The policy framework seeks to basically regulate the requirements and the procedures that the social service providers, the organizations that are involved in the sector, and institutions that need to comply with when providing such services. And also, it goes further to address the issue of management broadly of the organizations in compliance thereof and non-compliance thereof. The next two slides, Honorable Chair, just trying to give you the nature and extent in terms of the report that has been published on the situation of the human trafficking. There's a UNODC global report on trafficking in persons, which was published in 2012, which basically says that trafficking in persons is widespread worldwide, and Africa is predominantly the region of origin for persons in trafficking. And we also have a research that was done by Monica Molono, where they also say South Africa is still at the top, and we are seen also as a transit and also as a destination for trafficking in persons. Another report that I like to say is that women and children are the most often victims of trafficking. And men are targeted in other instances, but predominantly women and children. Then the U.S. Global Report also indicates that the most common form of trafficking is sexual exploitation. It's basically over 9%. And what is shocking is to see women trafficking other women in other countries. In South Africa, it's a combination, but in most countries, you find that mostly women trafficking other women. And then we're also talking about 80% of forced labor that is not easily detected. And also 80% of victims were found to be children in that time. The last one is about the U.S., where they also say almost 800,000 people are trafficked across their national borders annually, and millions within borders of their own country. Now, we're also working with international organizations, especially the International Organization on Mass Migration. So they also did a study in South Africa specifically. They're saying in South Africa, the recruitment that is happening from rural areas and informal settlements to cities like Johannesburg, Cape Town, Victoria, Bloemfontein, and Durban. Also, adolescent girls and young women are targeted. Boys under 18 are used to pornography. Men and boys recruited to work in the farm, but as I said, very difficult to detect infants. Also children from hard-headed households, and those that are undocumented, and those from poor rural and informal settlements, they are very vulnerable to this type of crime. And we also picked up that through this report, the multi-related crimes, where people will be trafficked for the use of parts, body parts. Especially in the Congo, Kumalanga, Kinshasa, and Kinshasa. Now, I'm going into the presentation itself. That was just to give a picture as to the extent of the problem itself. I think members are fully aware that this legislation is led within the Department of Justice and Constitutional Justice. We continue to provide that coordination and ensure that the implementation is better and better. I can certainly say full implementation of the Act commenced on the 9th of August, 2016, following the proclamation by the Office of the State Surgeon on the 7th of August. In his proclamation, the State Surgeon announced that all the sections except Section 15, 16, and 21, Section 2B, probably the 2 weeks, constitute to issuing of discharge visa by Home Affairs and request repatriation of another victim will be implemented. Now, in terms of the objectives of the Act, or the object of the Act, it's basically to meet our obligation as I indicated in terms of international agreement, but also to make provision for prosecution, because these kinds of people are not prosecuted. Also to provide for the prevention efforts for the trafficking of persons, as well as protection and the other kind of issues, and also services that need to be provided to the people. This legislation aims to also ensure that the effective enforcement measures and proper coordination. These are just roles of government departments. I won't speak to them. I think the next two slides just speak to the key departments that are implementing this legislation, which is your Justice and Constitutional Development, the South African Police, International Relations, Labour, and Home Affairs. Now, I just want to zoom into the mandate of social development. As a department, we are obliged to ensure that we provide temporary safe care for the victims, and we are also expected to ensure that there's accreditation of organizations and programs that are provided to victims of human trafficking. Also, we are charged with the responsibility of identification of the victim and also ensure that we protect. And also within this legislation, we are also expected to do proper assessment of the victim so that we can at the end issue a letter of recognition, because it's very important, as I said, it's very hard to detect. So what we did, we came up with criteria to say for you to qualify to be a victim of trafficking, this is a criteria based on the assessment, and then we issue a letter of recognition that can be also, we are expected to report on the services we are providing and the data that we collect. Where possible, we also fund these organizations within our available resources. And we have come up with long-term standards, that are embedded in the regulations to ensure that quality provision of services. And finally, we also do development assurance, just check if services are provided according to the non-center. As we continue providing the service, we are expected to ensure that each victim has got an IDP, which is called an individual protection plan, because each victim is not the same as the other one, and for different circumstances and different needs. We are also expected to come up with directives, which will table. We are playing a role in the repatriation of both domestic and foreign victims, within the social development in my graduate and international social studies wing that deals with international countries in terms of repatriating victims. And then basically we also came up with a regulation that we also take on children. Now, in terms of this regulation, the section that mandates the Ministry of Social Development to make regulations for specific areas, section 43.3. We expected to regulate the manner in which victims of trafficking are to be assessed, as I indicated that this is one of our key responsibilities, so we need to regulate how that is done before issuing a letter of recognition by the provincial head of the Department of Social Development. We are also regulating, or we have regulated, how the provincial head of the department may withdraw the letter that issued if any other information comes across that warrants for such a withdrawal. However, the victim can also lodge an appeal against the provincial head in terms of the withdrawal. And the regulations also, they provide guidance to the MEC of Social Development on how to deal with the appeal, because the MEC is the one who might deal with the appeal, the HOD may not deal with the appeal, because it's the one who appeals is made such financial funds. Then we also regulated in the regulation the system of accreditation of organizations that provide services to victims of trafficking and specific programs. The norms and standards that I spoke to are part of the regulation so that we ensure that there is uniformity and the quality of service. And we have also regulated how we qualify for financial awards within the limited resources with the provision of services and the issue of monitoring and evaluation. Finally, we regulated the manner in which victims are to be referred from Social Development to the Department of Home Affairs and to be sent back to their country of origin or areas within the Republic of South Africa from where they were trafficked. Now, also, we have tabled directives which are issued in terms of section 44.6 of the Act. This section mandates the DG of Social Development to issue such directives so that service providers out there can understand how they should deal with victims, because they are highly traumatized, highly sophisticated crime. Now, the directive basically provides for the manner in which victims of trafficking must identify, because remember I said they are charged with the responsibility of identification. So we had to come up with guidelines to say how do you identify the victim of human trafficking, how the victims must identify, how they should be interviewed so that we get what we want to get, and treated with particular attention to the vulnerability of children. I must say, issues of children are cross-referenced with the children and with the provisions of the children. And in the directive, we also talk about the referral system of victims, of trafficking to various sectors, to social, healthcare, and social services. And then in terms of section 44.11, the legal instructions of the directive must provide that adequate judicial steps are taken against any police official, prosecutor, or other functional who fails to comply with any duty imposed on him or her in terms of this act or the legal instructions of the directive issued in terms of this. I've put this so that members can understand that in case these officials, including our own social workers, if they support the claim, they can be
implicitly or self can be taken against it. So it's not just directed to things that need to be So the next few slides are just speaking to progress in terms of the current state of COVID. Members will remember that we started this work, the social development and start at the same time before when we hosted World Cup. But at that point there was no legislation. We just had for us to protect children and women during World Cup. We started work assisted by international organization on migration. At that point we had a service plan for it, so we touched on this for the story. In terms of information management system, we came up with a system which we call VEP Information Management System, because we believe this system will assist us to collect data and ensure that we report appropriately. We finalize the system, processes are continuously being trained on the system on how it works with an electronic system. In terms of the section 14, as I indicated earlier on, we came up with a policy framework which we finalized already in 2018. But when the legislation was finalized, we had to review certain areas because there were changes, not drastic, but there were changes in the legislation itself. Because this work started long ago. So as social development, we need to wait for the next promulgation, but it was on the rest of the program. In terms of section 2014, directives, we finalized them in July 2014, and then as we submitted the submission to Parliament on the 4th of June. Now, we also expected to develop models in terms of section 26, 1, 2, and 3. Come up with models that is basically guide temporary safe care, accommodation counseling and integration. The third one is education and therapeutic services or education and skills development. These are models that guide services within the human trafficking area that will be that are provided to victims. In terms of section 43.3, we did finalize the regulations and I have a little bit of the table. The area of nonsense centers, we also finalized those in the approved. Now, in terms of rehabilitation of victims of trafficking in shelters specifically, we came up with a program which we call Restoration and Healing Program. That program was accredited by CETA, Health and Welfare CETA. It's a 9-week program that we came up with. So it's the one that we currently using in our shelters. We continuously engage ourselves in innovation efforts and creating awareness in terms of human trafficking. We've got the command center that we're running, the 24-hour helpline, which is meant by 48 social workers to really assist and support a please call me facility if you don't have a time. And the toll-free number that is being used for any victim to still be victims of human trafficking, where it's possible for them to call, because we know sometimes it's very, very hard. We also have an everyday zero program. It's a prevention program that we run in as a department. It's targeted children, people with disabilities, older persons, and generally adults. It's based on comments, and it really interacts with the target group in terms of what it is that we need to do if they are subjected to any violence, including issues of human trafficking. We also run a program of CAPELA, which we introduced in the beginning of 2016. so that you can be aware that around you you may be exposed to sharp attacks. So we educate people to always be vigilant. The other event that I've mentioned is basically our annual event that we come up with. But our main program is Everyday Heroes, Capella, and Command Center. This slide basically gives you the trend. You might think more than that. We've got a success of from the few shelters, because the number was 30 shelters, we didn't include all. And you may ask, say, okay, from April 2014 to September 2015, that's it, all. These are the people who were accommodated in the shelter, as factors. So assessment was done, and where possible, others were started changing. What we did not put here, lots of confidentiality issues, but you can provide a comment to the information which is necessary. This is the breakdown of showing which these people are from which country, and when they go back to their own country, and so on. The graph basically indicates the training that took place just last year, but as I indicated that this work has been doing since 2010. We have almost by now trained more than 300 social workers to be able to understand the human trafficking sector. And we use the most experienced social workers in the city for the trauma that these people go through. Basically, the last slide, I still say, much as we are providing you service in terms of assessment and identification, it is difficult. Because you can only assess a person that is within your facility or that is brought to you in social development. So anyone who presents herself or himself in other areas is not easy to identify. We busy now starting to collect data, and I'm sure by the end of this year we'll have a better picture of the numbers, because now we're using an electronic system and we'll train all problems to be able to use the system as well. The issue of shelters for male victims, because most of our shelters accommodate women and children. And now there are pockets where men are also trafficked. So we need to now say maybe within the phasing that we've got now, we need to make sure that we have space also for men to see, because the reality, they are also trafficked. The issue of security, I spoke about the sophisticated nature of the Chinese but the mafias that are involved. So all these shelters that they have, we have been assisted by IOM to ensure that the security is strengthened. But as we identify new shelters, we have a challenge that is simply to ensure that we ensure the security is tightened. Today, we have already spent plus or minus 11 million just to ensure that the state shelters are up to speed. They've got the right security, the right program, and the right skills to the shelter to be able to provide the service. And this money is coming from the criminal assets to cover the account, CARA, FAM. They will give us the department, they give us 20 million so that we can be able to spend the long service. This year I was talking to the chance of mitigating. I think we need to continuously train our service providers, so they also need some de-risking programs and also make sure that the data collection system works better, and also continuously ask for more resources from shelter. Thank you for the opportunity.
another person. Our head person, because I could not put it to things, where we were able to respond the way where we come to ensure that we get information.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure what it is because you've already exceeded my phone of your 20 minutes. And you indicated that there was another person. Are you compatible? Are you sure? Okay, honourable members, please the presentation. Can I recognize him for the election? Honourable Hutton, is your hand up or your thingy? Honourable Zubane, Honourable Kaola, Honourable Thomas Zubane. Okay, in that order. My question is with regards to foreign victims of human trafficking. I suppose that they will be held in custody in the various shelters that have been established. And I just want to know how long does it take for them to get to the services. In such an element, they are at the end to go back. At most, how long can you tell me kind of assist so they get extra healing and then they go back to their country. Regarding those that are unnecessarily trafficked from within the country, I suppose when they come back, I don't know how they come back, after that, I want to protect them. The official responsible for this program in the department may clarify to us what actually happened when the attention is troubled and how do they come back? Because I suppose that when they come back, they don't have any form of identification. How do they go about authenticating their business? Another question, Chairperson, is with respect to education and skills that they offer to the people in the shelter, where they are kept as to what is the relationship between GSP and the Department of Education and Training, or basic education in terms of assisting them to catch up with the gaps. Regarding the skills development and training. And lastly, I didn't get clarity. I was not very clear when you spoke about individual development programs who assist them to develop their and what they are about and how to ensure that those development programs actually assist them to design their life. Thank you.
Thanks for the presentation from DSP. Just one question, Chair. When I listen to the presentation, it seems like the success of combating human trafficking lies more on the side of the community. But I didn't hear that much in terms of community education and community awareness program. Was there to report to the department? I didn't hear about the number, but in the side of DSP, we can have information to the community.
Thank you, Jefferson. Have a question on your collaborative methods
for measures that were put in place, the safety education has been covered by my chairperson, Honorable Tano. I would like to know your measures that were put in place in terms of the perpetrators of trafficking of the body part. Last time when we spoke, we had put this problem on the table, and I want to know what has been the responses in terms of the perpetrators and what is the status at this stage in terms of perpetrators and the body parts, because we know children get killed, the body parts are sold, and there's belief that comes as well, and the body parts of the children that get involved, but what is the status on your efforts to bring the perpetrators of this to book? Okay, I've been covered by Honorable Zwane, the administration. Thank you. Thank you. Trafficking of people, of children and women in Enhol. The past 2 days there has been provincial intervention by Minister Nsiswai. I don't know if you are aware in Enhol that 200 people have been trafficked at the expense of church, the right of education being compromised because the children are not going to school, people are not even allowed to go to work. Can you give us the national intervention in that thing? I know the provincial department has just been tabled to be attended by Minister Spy from the province, and what has been your effort in that regard of the 200 people in Enhol?
And the for two issues. The first one is that do you have enough resources? Are they at the standard in which I know you mentioned an issue of the security? Not only security, the facilities that you have, are they up to standard to accommodate the victims of human trafficking? And do we have enough of them? Where is the date? In which problem? And what criteria was used to decide on those different processes? We did not introduce ourselves because I took for granted that by now we know each other. That is why I single out Honorable Hutchins. We are representing provinces. I would want to know in Pumala where are the shelters, so that when I am at home, I'm able to go and visit those shelters and see if they are at the standard which is required. The second matter on the IT system, you developed or procured a new system. My question is why? Why did you have to have a new system? The current systems that you have were they not in a position to cater this function? Because if really you're going to use it for data capture, do you really need a new system? Can't you upgrade the existing system in order to save money and also ensure that it is part of your integrated system that you have in the department? These IT systems are very expensive, knowing them. I don't know now, maybe they are cheap in the administration, but knowing that they are very expensive, why are you using them instead of upgrading them? On education and awareness, I'm not comfortable with the continuum. For me, this continuum never went. I would want to see a situation where you said, we have this target. We're going to have so many education in this area and so many awareness. We've been able to achieve this. We have not achieved this because of these challenges. But now, the entire progress report for me is not based on a plan, just reporting on what we have done. We're not hearing what we have not been able to do because we don't know what we want to tell you initially. It includes the 20 million. How much money, how much budget do you have for this program? Only talking about the 20 million, the 11 million that has been spent. You say 11 million from the 20 million. What is your total budget for this? And what is the expenditure so far? This why we are concluding the financial year. They were talking about the previous financial year. How far have we spent money on this? And the last one from my side, no, the second last. We would like to visit some of the shelters when we do our oversight and see the status of them. You will direct us through our secretariat so that when we go to oversight, we are able to visit some of them. The relationship between yourselves and the municipality, because for these programs, we really need to work very close to the municipalities because they are working with the communities. At on the ground. I know that you do have the players on the ground, but it will assist to work very close with the community. I will give it to you. You may not answer some of the questions, but my fear is that if I say, you may send some of the responses in my team, I may not get there. If you could try to, I don't know how to resolve some of the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. I will start with your question, so many. Some are comments that we need to take into consideration and improve. However, I need to indicate that with me, I don't have the total budget of other equitable share programs for the province as I'm speaking. I hear that you say you're not believing that they can send, but I think I'll have to commit that we need to send the budget beyond the 20 million because what I was talking about the extra funds beyond the equitable share that we got from the integrated justice system to cover to be able to strengthen the program. And in terms of targets for education and awareness, I think members will be aware that we are running projects in Congo with the minister, the deputy minister, and all MECs in the 9 provinces, where we target 1,003 wards. So our campaign, given the target we have with the MTSF for the outcome 3, sticks to the number of wards that we are targeting. So my apologies for not specifically putting the target there. Then the VEP data collection system, it's not like we're protruding interest, we've just developed a system within the existing system of the NJS environment. That's what I was talking about. And the resources and the facilities. Currently we have 8 facilities that we have upgraded, and the criteria that we have used, we look at facilities or NGOs that are working in the sector and also did an assessment of the environment to say it is going to be affordable to upgrade for some, it won't be used for the type of security that is needed with high sophistication. So the money that I was talking about and also the IOM assistance really assisted us to upgrade security in those areas. We have centers in each province. We have it here, we can leave it here before we need this for members to take notice to where are these facilities in each province. The reason why they are not either public largely within the Gazette or anywhere is because of the confidentiality capability because the practitioners can follow them. So we will make sure that we give it to the members with a memory stick today before we leave so that we can know where are they from. And community involvement, there's a system that my colleagues will talk about in terms of how the social development, because if you read the act so on, we're just dealing with the victims. However, we also think that we need to play a bigger role in the prevention and create more awareness. But if the enforcement side is not strong, then there will be a loophole. That's why the Department of Justice tries to coordinate all the departments to make sure that there's a seamless system that really makes sure that we combat a trafficking in terms of policy. Sitting here, I did also with issues of drug abuse. I really think issues of drug abuse and issues of human trafficking are related, and we're dealing with, you know, highly sophisticated and very intelligent people who are involved in the sector. So we need a response that measures the crimes and stuff. So I think, as I said, we are really panicked. We are not yet there, but we have started to do some work that we really need to move within our limited resources. In terms of the IOM report, unfortunately, what I've quoted is what is in the finding. I will even know it on CPA why this case is not part. In the report, we pick up the emphasis of Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and respect. But we acknowledge that may happen in other provinces, especially in the Eastern Cape. The issue of individual development plan, this is a plan that is developed by the social worker after assessment. This plan just speaks to what type of intervention is expected or supposed to be provided to this particular victim as an individual. So the social worker will follow that ICP, monitored by supervisors to make sure that it is followed to the latter, because
This is where you identify whether this person is a translated deaf or not. Everything about this person will be indicated in the individual development language chart, which is developed by the specialist. Okutwala, yes, it is recognized as a crime in terms of human trafficking. I think my colleague will also elaborate on that. In Congo, I must say, I don't have much information. I'm aware of it, and I don't have much information in terms of the 200 children that they practice. I'll ask my colleagues just to speak about certain areas that I have left on, in terms of home affairs, how long do they stay as a shelter, and how they are being repatriated back to their own country.
Thank you, with the programs like our 15 days of activism, provinces do conduct awareness activities. We're looking at the calendar of events. We also had in October the Trafficking Persons Week, where we encourage provinces to mount awareness activities. Also, in September we have the Victim Rights Week. June, Youth Day, we also mount the awareness activities. So in this way, the communities are very, very actively involved. Since it's new, we haven't really made much impact, but I mean, we have programs and that have already been planned, particularly in the next financial year. We're very confident that the program should be visible in provinces and communities. With regard to the Okutwala program, there's a case that was successfully prosecuted in this province of the Western Cape. When it comes to Okutwala, we're looking at in a situation where, you know, it's an adult, and then the other person is a child. So in the case of, you know, children that are being abducted, that is obviously a crime. And that's why we can confidently say that there was a case that was successfully convicted. But I mean, from the police in the provinces, Okutwala has long said there is consent, two consenting adults that have agreed, that is a teenager who agreed to be abducted, if I could say it that way. Yes, in that case, we do not really classify it as, Okutwala, or as the negative Okutwala. And then, with home affairs, also their court is involved. The repatriation of victims back to their concept of origin. I can say that the program is that we had a 9-week program. So, 9-week program. That is more or less the average amount of time that each victim spends in a shelter. But I mean, they do spend more time sometimes. And then, depending, if the victim wants to assist in the prosecution of the trafficker, the time would obviously be extended. What we do is home affairs would be requested to extend, a visa for a lengthier period, and also depending, if the case is so sensitive, instead of placing victims in a shelter, the Witness Protection Act can also be used, that the victim can be placed in a place than our shelter. And then what would happen is through the immigration process, we are able to repatriate What we do is through our ICE International Social Service Directory, we are able to communicate with the ISS in the other foreign countries, and so as to either receive the report, depending on where, if the victim is out in the South Africa in another country, we are able to compile the report. We have to ensure that we conduct an assessment of the family circumstances of the victim. Because sometimes there are situations where a family member are involved in the trafficking of their own member. So what assessment, a thorough assessment of the circumstances to be sure that indeed the victim will be saying when returning, or the victim will be saying when recapturing the service to their community. So when we are satisfied, you know, with the content, then arrangements are being made. But still, the victim will have to be escorted. There's need for protection. Why? Because for the chances back to their home country, there's a possibility that they may be abducted, re-trafficked, you know, and to another destination. So they have to be safe. This previously was only for children, in terms of for children, so-called unaccompanied minors. But now that the victims are at risk, we make sure that even adults are given the same type of service. And then we depend on. I think these are the issues that I would also touch on. Thank you.
So thank you very much for the responses, Colin. We may need to get a proper report now. I know that today you are coming for the regulations. That is dealing with real cases, not mentioning names, but a report that will tell us that now we have so many of them. This is how much time they spend in the center. Because I'm taking from what he's saying, the minimum, the average time is 9 weeks that they take more. But who would want to have a real report now that is speaking to what is actually happening in the country? The 60 days of activism, that is not enough. You know most of the provinces. We know those programs. We participate on them. Talking about between 25 of November to 10 of December. No, 500, not that one. That is not going to work, knowing that. I think we must try and have a serious problem that you're talking about. Otherwise, I think that ends the presentation and the deliberation. We will have to vote on the presentation. Can I see by show of hands members who are supporting the regulations as presented? Let me welcome Honourable Matthias. Oh, one by one. Honourable Matthias. Do you support? You don't. Can I have the other mic on the
screen? Thank you, Jen. My apologies for that. I didn't get it earlier. But no, I'm not supporting the screen.
Thank you very much. In line of taking and moving from that number one, and then for some more.
Of the 60 days, it has been approved. But could just do informality with the community that we have to do. Thank you very much, all our members. And thank you very much, Corey and the team. We will be waiting for the report and some of the information that we requested. Thank you very much.
My name is Jefferson, and I'm a Good morning, honorable members. My name is Nicole Vani, General Manager at the
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Paul from Tulani, the executive manager responsible for the team.
Good morning, Chairman and honorable members. My name is Pankaj Chakrabarty, Head of Communications.
Good afternoon, honorable chairperson and members. My name is Renee Ogle. I'm responsible for coordination and compliance.
Thank you very much, chairperson. I will proceed and we will look at if there's amended targets because we can't deviate too much from what we've stated in our ABP and our SWAT plan in terms of reporting on our annual report. Let's present as highlighted in performance information against our annual performance plan, and this is really against obviously our strategic plan that has also been presented here before. I'll go straight to the vision. We still maintain that we want to be a leader in the delivery of social security services and to administer social security services to eligible children, older persons and people with disabilities. And everybody knows that our slogan is in JALO. So we want to make sure that we take the right people, the right amount, the right time and place. The strategic outcomes that have evolved that we set for ourselves in 2014-15 is the year on which we are reporting. The first one was obviously to expand the access to social security by creating a platform for payment. And that will make sure that we render a social security service to eligible beneficiaries. The key priorities that we indicated in our strategy and preference, our annual performance plan, were the key priorities being reducing income poverty, being one of the most important ones, by providing social assistance, improving service delivery, and improving internal efficiencies in the manner in which we conduct our business. Institutionalized the payment for grants within taxes is one of the critical targets for this organization that we are have to take on board in order to deliver an end-to-end service based on the mandate of the SAFA. The strategic objective that we have is to ensure that eligible beneficiaries receive benefits due to them. That is a correct process in which we'll use to make sure that if they're eligible for grant, they should get them within the time. The quality of our services, the places in which applications are taken, and the manner in which our people are treated and served by our staff as customers receiving our service. To achieve a fully integrated and automated social assistance service, we come from a very manual service, and year on year, we try to automate to make our service more efficient, as well as ensure the agency is optimally compensated for service delivery. In terms of our performance information, the first one I'm going to look at is the target was that we would try and reach 1.1 million new beneficiaries per annum as new people coming on from. And during this year under review, 2014-2015, Chairperson, we'd like to report that 1.379 million people applied for grants. And out of that, you will see that 1.373 million people were within the 21 days that you could have targeted for a grant application to be approved. We also are obviously continuing reducing that time limit. But whilst we have disability grants and need a doctor, we always get to need the additional time. Otherwise, we can actually process grants in one day. We have proven in our offices already that the majority can be delivered in a day. We obviously want to say that it is the right protocol so that you don't make inclusion or exclusion errors in trying to do it as such. And disability grants can never be done in the day because of the process involved. We show what that 70,000 of the people who came to see us during 2014-15, they were rejected in terms of their applications. So that's really important to know that not everyone who came to our door received a grant during that financial year. If we look at our second strategic objective, which is to provide grants to qualifying and eligible beneficiaries, you will see the aim was to increase our grant from 15.9 million people to 16.52 million people during that financial year. And from the earlier statement, you will see that there was overachievement in that number, in that 16.642 million people, in fact, were on our system at the end of the 2014-2015 financial year. 12.3 million were children, and 3.2 million were older persons, and 1.1 million were disability grants. This constitutes a 4.6% increase in the average growth. In terms of every year, people grants are less. Whether people pass on, whether children turn 18, whether disabilities were only for 6 or 12 months. During the year, we review 1.299 million grants were left in that year. In terms of social assistance by regions, I think the important thing to note is that obviously some of our provinces have a larger amount based on the population, and KZN has 23% of the grant total, followed by Eastern Cape, and then almost neck and neck is Gauteng and the Limpopo, the 13% at this time in terms of grant. If you do, we don't have that slide for you, but I can say to you, if we take Limpopo against the number of people, then more people than 30% would be getting grant. That is improvement. They provide social relief of stress to families experiencing hardship and thus require immediate intervention. 160,000 SRC applications were first. That was the target, the skills target, but the need far exceeded the target in that 353,000 applications were received, which is 131% overachievement. But that is a demand-based service. While we take an average number of people to say they'll come forward for assistance, with the declining employment status within our country, it has meant that more people are vulnerable and needing food support in the main. As you can see, there were cash vouchers and food parcels and food uniforms provided to people under social relief of distress. And of course, there is obviously been an increase in the budget to match what was required. In terms of the FRC provinces, we will see that Eastern Cape has had the most requests for social relief of distress, followed by Gauteng and obviously KZN is only 39%. I think it's important to know where the needs are and how responsive we are being to those needs. In terms of the implementation of social assistance programs, the objective is the reduction of inclusion and exclusion errors. My aim was, based on the research that was conducted 2 years ago, it was a clarion call that almost 2 million children were not on the assistance. In order to address this under-inclusion step, we purposely went out to our ICOP program to address this anomaly that was in communities. As a result of it, the exclusion error was addressed, and we now can say that 51% of the children in the under one, the naughty one category, has been reached. The previous year was under 30%, and that is why. We obviously are putting a target for 70%. We have not achieved that target, but we will also be clear that while we are reaching children, we have not reached the 70% in terms of the target. So if that would be a target in our they would be fine. In terms of the improvement conditions under which beneficiaries are served, that's the turnaround time for when a person comes into the office to apply. As I said before, a significant amount is being done on the same day, but 99.6% has been done within 21 days. We would do that to adjust it, but the reason for not adjusting it is the disability grant to the same. In terms of improving our service delivery, which is very important, the way we serve our people, we've had the ICOP and the CORNZU outreach program. As I said before, we tended to serve, but as you can see the correlation of where ICOP happens, it is in provinces where they have less offices. Out of the we've got 44 district offices, we have about 360 local offices. But some provinces, for example, the Western Cape, has less local offices. And that's a point. You would find that there's more ICOP outreach programs. So you can seek to offset that. Here again, we want to have at the top 420 outreach programs, but reached 740 outreach programs between both the ICOP and the report group. Again, this is about the need out of trying to reach the under one children. When we looked at the report of UNICEF, we all assumed that it was just rural children that we were missing. No, we found it was children actually in the city, in the periphery of the cities, very urban, where people had come from other areas to cities to try and take off. That was the greatest for our system. As I said earlier, we provide the chairperson and members with the ICOP program, our outreach, and how many has happened in each of the provinces. And again, I want to point out, the Northern Cape is a very huge area with few offices, but it's huge. So you have smaller pockets of people. And because the smaller pockets of people won't benefit from the 5 day a week office every single week, but they will benefit from ICOP programs if you come in with a comprehensive program together with home affairs and taxes with people's affidavits and so on. So we use that. But you would say, should your footprint not include some of the small areas, at the moment it wouldn't be viable. But is our we have to serve everyone. So it doesn't matter how small the village is, we have to get there. And so we're doing some of that through ICOP. So you'll see that the Northern Cape has 168 ICOP interventions. We just have 150. Again, because they've only got, I think, 16 local offices and smaller pockets of towns that need to be served. I think later on we might have to consider collaboration with other government entities. We're already in all the two-stop centers that you can be in. We are in those. We always have problems with public works and in building. So the other option is to have a mobile arrangement through the ICOP. In terms of our payment system, Chairperson and Committee, you'll be aware there was a constitutional court challenge against the award of tender to CPS to render the payment service. We went out on tender during that financial year, the one under review, whilst the company's in the current state. An award was not made because only three companies came forward and none of them were of client. In fact, the company that took us to the constitutional court did not tender, and neither is CPS, who is the current service provider. I mean, the tendency was a mobile service provider, a bank, and a consortium. And these three companies with our clients really informed the court they are aware of the current situation and therefore the current tender will run its course, which is March next year. In terms of the payment system, we've had the Civil Advisory Committee who has provided us with a report based on this report. We have started to work towards work stream to actually take the payment system in-house. So during the year under the review, we've had the work done to give what we call a broad-based plan of how SASA should move towards payment guard itself. What we need now is a group of dedicated people to actually unpack each and every process to ensure that that happens. That's the government's responsibility in that way. In terms of ICT infrastructure, during the year under review, 98% of our local offices are equipped with computers, printers, networks, and connectivity. We have strategic architecture and ICT 5-year roadmap. SOCTEM, which is the grant ICT system, is continually being upgraded in every financial year to meet the demands of business. But at the end of the day, it is an old system, and there's only so much that we can do, and we have to think in the future of capping for a new system for an end-to-end solution. In terms of fraud management during the 2014-15 year, 60%, which is the target, 60% of reported fraud and corruption cases have been investigated. Out of the 1,328 reported cases, 950 were investigated, which represents 72% against the annual target of 60%. We still have constant attacks on SASA and on older people. People prey on older people. In terms of fraud, and you will notice, Chairperson, that the officials are involved. They are things that often be dismissed, or we hope in prison, as we've seen a lot better result of our work of late, because of our work with the justice system. During the year under review, we've had 266 suspensions of staff and 53 dismissals. Was far more involved in any fraud or corruption. In terms of the 60%, as I said before, law enforcement agencies and referrals, the chief dedicated were referred to the law enforcement agency and five officials were convicted during that financial year. What we do have is the 10% service not so long. It is a good practice. I remember the Google Data matter, which was 7 officials, which were 3 years ago, were only sentenced now. So on average, it takes 3 to 3.5 years. We might have gone through the disciplinary matter in that year, but the actual conviction takes a lot longer. 94 money lending cases were reported and 64 suspects who were in possession of 350,000 cars and 586. In cash. 16 private persons, including 3 CPS officials, with 280,000 cars were apprehended, as well as equipment used in the payment. 13 private persons also turned test witness. You find them a syndicate. There's usually people in the community, they call community town. There's a syndicate boss, and there's someone, either CPS or SASA. And usually some of them turn on each other. Well, that's very important to us in order for people to come forward to discuss the conviction. In terms of conviction, 2 CPS officials were sentenced to 15 years each. 1 is has been fined under the 2,000 grand penalties in terms of fines and 1 is suspended. And 1 is not fined. 3 SASA officials were arrested and only tested for an investigation, so they created 55 ghost beneficiaries, a amount is 752,000 rand in terms of being voted up around the legal permission board. In terms of our legal services model, we had 143 litigation cases handled. If you look at the 2013-2014 financial year in comparison, we would find that there was more cases during the 2014-2015 financial year, but less money involved in the cases that we resolved with. In terms of improving our human resource management, this is a reduction in funded vacant posts. A total of 10,742 posts were filled at the end of the 2014-15 financial year, 315 new appointments, 471 contract appointments, 1,055 EPWP workers, and 112 interns were part of the sector workforce during that financial year, as well as 356 internal promotions during that time. We're still struggling, and we must be honest, we're struggling with our disability targets. Only 1.1% of people with disabilities are employed. We obviously have set ourselves a very creative goal in our strategic plan to actually move that to 4%. But we need to do better on this one. So it's a target that we're struggling with. In terms of our human resource key vacancy, which was raised by the AG in his report, the regional executive manager for the Northern Cape, she retired. We currently have interviewed and a person has been nominated. We are hoping that there is a certain act that must be finalized before the person can begin her position. Limpopo was transferred to Gauteng, and we have appointed the CFO and the CIO, they're both here today, and we are further looking at headhunt for Limpopo. The Northern Cape is just waiting to endorse the appointment. The 5th of April, we had 650 vacancies. With a salary goal of 230 million. In terms of 100% labor relations cases initiated within prescribed time, a total of 445 labor relations cases were initiated within the prescribed time, with the following outcomes. There was 195 verbal warnings, 100 written warnings, 90 final written warnings, and 60 dismissals. In terms of financial management, here is a target that we struggle with and pay people within 50 days. It's 100% and we only at 82%. So we have not yet achieved the 100% target to pay all our suppliers within 50 days. This is a country ambition that all particularly small service providers should be paid within 50 days. The sector so far has not managed, only had 82%. And the target of 20% reduction in irregular expenditure, there has been a reduction by 42%, and the aim should be to improve that much more in the future. So we need to work hard at that. In terms of financial management, 10% of social assistance debt recovered. Now, the debt relief sector is a long haul. Come on for many years. Debt in fact was still being granted delivered by provinces to national social development debt, to sector debt. This is something that will need a higher order intervention ultimately. What we do is be able to take this is how much of the debt we get to try and recover, and this is how much we gain to grind off. We do what we can to stop it. But it's not enough out of the amount. The deal is only 32 million out of 257 million of the debt was actually written off. The recovery is 5.7 million, which is a lot lower. And we The staff desk would need more urgency, but the CFO is here, and any questions in this regard we will handle. I'm going to hand over to the CFO to do the financial part, Chairperson, and then I'll comment. That's okay with you. Very fast.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Chairman. When we look at the financial that support the operations of Gaza, we have put actually a chart that indicates the state of the expenditure or the state of the budget in terms of the delivery. 58% of Gaza budget actually goes to goods and services. 40% goes to compensation of employees, 2% actually goes to the training and the asset acquisition, and only a percent would deal with the levy that is paid to the state. It was used in terms of the figures. Total budget is 6.5 million. And of that, under the year, under review, we spent 6.2 billion, which translates actually to 97%, which is a 3% underspending on the allocation. You can see that under COE, we spend less by 4%, and under goods and services, we spend less by 8%. The transfers and subsidies, we did spend 6%. And there is an overspending with respect to the acquisition of assets, which I will speak to the next slide. Yes, the next slide is a repeat of what I already said, but draw the attention of the honorable members to the fact that the acquisition of assets, it was part of what we have made an arrangement with Treasury, because that ahead had the tax supply funding of assets of a billion. So part of spending that money will be for the Treasury to improve the acquisition of working tools which are the cars. So they did allow us to overspend on the acquisition of assets to buy additional cars under the year 2015. Then when we look in terms of the next slide, it will talk to what actually could be the reason for the under expenditure, which is fixed to clarify the 3%. We had actually posts that were not filled at the end, about 650 posts. But the biggest issue that we have had is that when you promote it from within, which means that you transfer promoting from level 5 to level 7 or level 6, level 8, you will open a hole. So generally you promote within and then you create another hole. So the bulk of the lower positions were with regard to that. The COD speak about the positions that were only filled during this year, which is the 2016, which is the CFO, the CFO, and other general managers and senior managers that were actually filled in that regard. Under goods and services, we had the spin off around the communication, in that we have had this cap to 44,208. However, the truth is, exemption for staff that really need more money to make contact with beneficiaries or whoever they need to. So that is just instead, but for the general rule, there's a system that we implemented that money is actually the telephone. We also saw that, you know, in excess of 50 million around the entity, which means that the company that does the payment of grants on behalf of data, we have seen the cash in terms of the amount that we pay in debt. So we have about an extra 50 million credit around it. We also had a less credit around it. There were leases that we thought would have finalized with the Department of Public Works. However, due to the issues, the delays from Public Works and also sometimes non-responsive bids, we had to re-advertise them and be able to really absorb that expenditure. So it remains unspent because we do not finalize the disagreement with regard to that. One of the issues that we have got in the direction from Treasury was to look at the reduction in terms of the traffic. So we have put measures for management side just to look at the shift in terms of the traffic. And I said to you, so that traffic is about people, so you have to really reach the community. So because the footprint of South has increased, at one certain point you would have to limit the factors traveling around that, and that's what the positive, you know, process has to that. If ever then, in time, if ever then we were to look at the positive point, because we have to look at the positive point. Yes, honorable chairperson, we hope the question that we let have a team for it. What the question was, what the target is, our explanation for this day. The issues that led to that. However, we did see an aspect support, which we believe that actually under the circumstances there was really a lot of work that happened around it. In terms of the usefulness of the city summit objectives, it means that we have achieved a good settlement report, because we looked at what the potential was raising around the settlement information. They said this information provided as well as the significant improvements in terms of how we have achieved our targets with regard to that. The slide that we'll be talking to is the next slide. Why did we not get a project team for this report? I think this is going to summarize the basis why we did not get that. There were only two material issues that were there. However, we put the second one because it comes very expensive in the project report. The first one was the misclassification of expenditure around the business. Here, for the representative, it meant that within the lease payment, there were some of the added expenditures that the landlord would be like fixing certain things in the building and whatever, which is not necessarily a business expenditure, but more of the maintenance of it. And therefore, we have to reclassify that expenditure was well above 77 million. And based on that, so that the garage is not too kind to it. The second part, which was material, actually, it was the 315 million, which the CEO did highlight that actually we do have a court case around this matter through the corruption watch. It was the interpretation of how this explanation is classified. It is a matter that happened during the legislation time. Part of the categories that we needed to really is that at the time there were exclusion of children and procurators. So that number was not included as it was finalized at the interest of the company that was appointed. And that expenditure of 315 became additional. So because it was less than 25% of the total fee, which is about the 10 billion that was awarded to CDS, we understood that the CEO decided over that transaction. And therefore, we understood as not necessarily the deviation. However, the Secretary General had a different view on that. So we developed certain edges in terms of the application of that expenditure. We had to agree with the AG that we would refer the matter to National Treasury for clarification, with the response from National Treasury only came during the course of the year, which is 2016, in terms of whether that amount is available or not. So in the financial statement, we had to reclassify that expenditure as a possible eligible expenditure under investigation. And the investigation meant that we need to refer that transaction to Treasury for extra detail. And the transition has not come back from Treasury on technical grounds. They said that it needs to be classified as a regular expenditure. Largely because the rate that we pay for the additional is the one, not the same rate which was paid within the contract. And they said that we should have an agenda with the existing contract rather than interpreting as only part of the existing contract. And that's the method that the project made as a project move from a close to a team for the support sector to an unqualified for the support. The last thing that I need to draw to the attention of the committee is the question around in terms of finalization of the possible financial and contract cases. At the end of the year 2014-15, Sata told to return to the next cases of possible financial and contract cases, which needed to be investigated, and other general has reservation that we take too long to finalize possible financial misconduct cases. And for this year, we have made a clear show that there should be effort and a focused approach in dealing with those cases. I will hand over to the CEO.
Thank you, Jason. So, you know, the singular challenge that staff have done have is work is the deductions that people have received, and more recently we've just discovered that there's a syndicate that is in the waiting today, and 8,000 people will now have to be refunded. It was reported to police on Friday. It took us a lot of sifting through computerized systems. It affected people who were mainly at the ATMs. We're using a pin of 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, older people, they forget to print, so they tend to use a very simplistic one. Everybody does it, they don't use English. And someone has hacked the system. That has meant that TPS is now in the process of paying back 8,000 people who have had unfair deductions. We're obviously going to make a call to all our community. There's also someone phoning people and saying, SAPA will give you a voucher of 250 rand as a Christmas voucher if you give them your PIN, your bank. I mean, our people need to be educated. When people come here on the phone and just say, I'm from SAPA, it's not true. So we currently struggle against lots of external issues where people are preying on older people in particular. In terms of insurance, funeral insurance, we gained a court with at least 3 of the agencies where they stole people without making proper, you know, people must understand what they're buying if they're buying other insurance policies. And they've also been selling to children's grants, family policies. So we will be in court a lot this year challenging the insurance industry. Looking at people just as banks are being hacked, we have now also experienced what hacking is about. But we do believe that we'll also have to look at municipal officials, particularly with the electricity, because if it was bought against the meter and not know that we need to see where that went. So it will be quite a big investigation, but our beneficiaries will be refunded while we conduct the investigation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The two members issued to Honorable Zwane, Honorable Nathan, Honorable Kaula, Honorable Tambo, Honorable Mackenzie. Thank you, Chairperson. What is just going to start with given the fact that the time I'm worried about this issue of the insourcing of the payment system, Chairperson. I know that we are likely to save if the service is insourced. However, I'm worried about the level at which officials get involved on the issues related to fraud and corruption. If that system is not going to be compromised by officials that are going to be involved in such an anti-current kind of conduct. The issue of a present and uncompleted end, in your presentation you said present and receives 23% of the entire budget. But when it comes to the social relief of the spread, how can I just want clarity in terms of what, I mean, demographically, that makes sense to me. It's either KZN is short budgeting for social relief of distress, or it is because people are not aware of the benefits that they can get from that program. And then lastly, Chairperson, I'm going to leave out some of the issues. The issue of the people that are where they can and have not been filled, if I heard it correctly, is a cause for concern. Where I will fill this post in, because when so many posts are not filled, it compromises the services that you are giving to people. I'm not going to get into the issue of all of my expenditure of 67% and other expenditure of 0% when there's an amount of money that has been spent, but it indicates 0% tax rate. I don't understand that one. But let me stop there for now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, looking at your equity figures in the annual report, doesn't look well. If we look at the colored Indian and white communities in males, 78, 77, and 25%. Females, 80%, 61%, 40%, respectively. I see that there's an attempt to adjust it, but it doesn't look well. Secondly, and my colleague touched on it, the report under the heading improved fraud management gets some figures, and it's about fraud and corruption. I would like to know how many of these 1,328 reported fraud and corruption cases were actually reported to SAPS and investigated by SAPS with a SAPS crime number. Then, and I have to ask the question because tomorrow again there is an event, and I'm referring to the by-elections, the Tokyo by-elections. Tomorrow again the SASA and the department will be involved in an event. In the previous round, 2013, we saw that SASA, here on Sundays, were involved dishing out food parcels indiscriminately, not only to needy people, as well as bankers in the run-up to the elections. What we're seeing now on the 24th of January, on a Sunday, a registration date, we saw SASA people and the department issuing, they were not sufficient food parcels, but they were issuing also vanity packs during the registration. Vanity packs also containing cash. I would like to know how you actually regulate this and see that SASA is not being abused for political purposes, specifically in registration campaigns and in by-elections. During 2013, the efforts were only directed at the by-election wards, but promises that it would be expanded to the other wards as well after the by-elections. It never happened, and now the focus is set on the by-election wards. Thank you, Chair.
I just one question from me. You mentioned that between March and March 2013 and 2014, and between 2014 and March 2015, 1,299,000 grants lapsed.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to echo my concern about being involved with the election, and that's almost borderline electoral fraud. So, yeah, I look forward to getting a response on that as well. I'd like you to speak to the amount that was spent on the fraud case management system and maintenance, and yes, I can hand for the drop of about 3 million that you've managed to reduce in the four cases that you've had. What I am concerned though is that we're not criminally prosecuting as a means, so I don't understand why some are getting dismissed, some are criminally, some are charged, some are just suspended, and I do understand there's a focus and disciplinary action, but we really need to be hard at this. This is like stealing from the poorest of the poor. I mean, and it's one for that is a large amount of money. And people are stealing, it's like stealing bread from a hungry child. It's just disgusting. So, we just need to be much tougher, and we need to have, maybe you need to engage like the NPA and the police service to have designated people who work primarily dealing with these cases, because it just can't be that we can be stealing money, especially from the department that provides the poorest of the poor.
How do you set your target on how many children you need to reach? Like, are there tests available of the number of children who are actually eligible? Because I know the social development and alert departments come and say, oh, we've already reached 30,000 people and we've managed to reach 20, but how do you know that? What informs you your 30,000, for example? And the payment system, I'm afraid to disagree with my 100% here about having that system in and out. It's really important that we build state capacity. They are all over the world, most countries, they have the system of social grants. So we must adopt those systems, and they have minimal amounts of fraud that has been done. So why aren't we doing that? I understand that it's only 2% of the budget that's been allocated for the fees for which whoever gets the tenders, the 2% you said, the levy for the payment out of the grant. And but I think that's what it says, right? 2%? But regardless, 2% is a small amount in terms of percentage, but it's a large amount that can be really used to do other things. So what you need, like, let's look at building the capacity within inside. There are plenty of systems worldwide that would be able to stop unnecessary fraud. Oh yes, and the staff debt. How are staff incurring debt? Is it these that have been stealing money, or is it just hiring cars and hotels and all those things? Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't say anything. Sorry. I don't want to call it a call for funding. I did not say that the department was not insourced. I said, why is that thinking of insourcing? How are you going to deal with the issue of officials getting involved in corruption?
Thanks, Jefferson, to the CEO presenter. Thanks for all your efforts on some discussions that are affecting the Western King province. And I'm glad you are here today, because this was my first question that is highly affecting the province that I'm representing. Chairperson, through you, the presenter did not talk about the loan shark, Somashonisa, which is also rife with the elderly and the targeted, with funeral plans, which will touch on the loans. And how are you dealing with that if your rapid response, according to the response, because you pick it up and you respond immediately in a like that idea. Thank you, just on the loan shark, that the sun has been covered.
Thank you very much. I have a long list of questions, but I'm not going to answer it. What I'm going to do, I will give you our analysis report, the number of issues that are raised there, which I would like you to respond by Friday, so that we get answers like speaking again next week Tuesday, and some issues raised by honorable members. You may include the responses in that report, but Friday I want the report and the responses which we can give to members. I would just request you to respond on very few issues really out of time. We're having a sitting at 2, we have to go for lunch. The issue of social relief that is being raised sharply by members, which is used for political gain, which is not accepted, if it does happen, because it's really a compromising government effort. It could be the timing, because it does not mean that because there are election services has to stop, but it may be the timing when it is done. Why is it done just before the election? That is what members are saying. Why are we using a food purpose for elections? We would want to, it will assist if you could give us a report of your social relief, maybe in the previous year, so that we can see when does your budget increase. Is it your increment in terms of social relief related to the period of elections, or it does happen even in between the elections? That report will assist us, because as we speak now, we are political parties as much as we are members.
these are very sensitive things to do. That we must be very careful on what we are doing at a given time without stopping services of government because of elections. We will want a report that is speaking to that. I'm sure you understand what I'm proposing. Program one, that is where there are serious deviations in terms of your targets. In almost all the sub programs, you are reporting on a bigger number of targets as compared to what you presented during the planning, but that could be included in your responses that will get on Friday. Just briefly, because we're really out of time, on those key issues that I've indicated as response.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm surrounded by staff and answering everything, but just safe to say that we will provide your report. There are 1,300 poverty wards in the country. Areas like Gauteng and the Western Cape, they have areas that through various research and pooling research have been identified. Our aim is to particularly serve people in what we call the poverty wards. So if we look at how many wards there are and how many we do per year, we try to, and we don't give people, we can't give people food every month. Unless there's a child with malnutrition, then that has to get food for 3 to 6 months, otherwise it would be one off. I also want to say that the rate of unemployment in our country exacerbates the need. Sometimes people queue from early mornings, they stand, they don't want to go away, they're in the waiting game, there people queue right around their office wanting SRDs. We have an assessment process for SRDs. You don't just give away the same money. You can't get it, and people will cry and they'll say, but we got a glass, and why can't we get a food parcel of our chicken in the same bag? Your sister said, but I'm 54, and I'm unemployed, I have a family. No one's working. We can only give it to you for once or twice. And across this year, we'll try to speak to us. But we are under pressure in that program, really we are. In terms of housing and more people, it might be a smaller space, but it's rapidly expanding and it has high levels of people, migrants, people within it. So therefore, they would have less people on grant per month in housing compared to KZN, but they would have more people on the other hand in SRD. It shows that people come to housing for work, to look for work. You could see the correlation very clearly. We have permission to overspend because we have a positive bank balance of R1 billion, which is our money we are actually wanting to use to replace our system as we go to the transition to in-source the payment. So Treasury gave us that permission. We didn't do it well, we got permission. In terms of equity, yes, this is an issue, but we want to serve people, particularly in the language which they're comfortable with. That's become an issue because of the low level of literacy, particularly in some areas, and where that's situated, and who our customers are. I'm going to ask Renee to speak on fraud, the system, and all those issues, and why so few people are being prosecuted. Ms. Ogle, if you speak. After the 216 cases that were finalized, we have now transported 41 cases to the South African Police Service. In terms of that 41 cases, we started, and part of it has been reported by the CEO in the presentation, we have the convictions and the arrests of the 16 persons, of which 13 persons faced witness, 13 were convicted, of which 2 were sentenced to detective direct incarceration of 15 years each. Also, in that case, financial year, on the very same day, we had the arrest of the 3 officials in Mpumalanga, in Verena, from Shanga, of which the case is still before court. Also, in the same financial year, in March, we had 4 tourist arrests, where we had subsequent 2
two, the arrest conviction, and two of our former officials were also sentenced to direct incarceration of 7 years each. We have had the case in the arm where one of our former officials, as well as the security officer placed at the local office, were convicted and sentenced to 4 years and 3 years direct incarceration respectively. In terms of the court case management system, they have not spent any money on developing that as chairperson and honorable members, because it was done by our own internal IT team. So there is no cost that is implicated in that. In terms of doing the fact, yes, we have a strategy. We have just compiled the memorandum of understanding, which is in draft form that has been circulated to all justice practitioners, where we seek greater coordination and cooperation with regard to investigations, prosecutions, and related activities of the justice practice departments. We have standardized quarterly engagements with all law enforcement agencies, beginning with the primary law enforcement agents in the country, which is the South African Police Service, the National Prosecuting Authority as a collector, which includes the Asset Forfeiture Unit, the Financial Intelligence Center,
and also the Department of Labor.
Thank you very much for the responses on Friday. One thing I want to request from you, through you, your general executive or general manager, I can't remember those strategies. If in your summarized report, a dashboard, it's very easy to see on a dashboard, which is comparing the three past years so that we can see whether we are moving forward or backward. Also, if possible, the finances, how they were spent or accessed in the, that is for the next reporting. Thank you very much, all the members, SASA, and our officials, the meeting senators.
I've forgotten how to work this little thing now. Sorry, I'll ask you now.